You got breaking news. Judge Bershon in New York opens the door to dismiss the Trump case.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
You know, everybody has been wondering what Judge Bershon would do out of that New York State case involving Alvin Bragg and the DA, and the fact that we had the Supreme Court case on immunity come out, and how that affects all those witnesses that Donald Trump could have gone into court with his attorneys, and likely at least some of them, if not all of them, would have been barred from testifying when he evoked his presidential rights. But what's interesting here is that though you've had a court system which has been extremely hostile to President Trump, they have to deal with the reality that exists now because President Trump made three great picks to the Supreme Court that, again, protects the president from these kind of actions so they can do their job. These are people that want to try Logan and be able to go after presidents all the time, not just with impeachment, but like this idea of putting them behind bars. We've heard it over and over again. This case, though, now, the leave for the Trump campaign to file a motion to dismiss has been filed. You're seeing it on our screen right now. Now, they will get to reply, the Bragg team, but that does not mean that they are necessarily going to have oral argument. They don't have to do that. And I think this is, Logan, his way of out.
It's an indication of where it seems like it's going. So to make sure people understand what's happening here, this step is they approve the option for them to put in that they can ask for a dismissal. And then the other side has the opportunity to respond over a couple of weeks' time. And then also delays any kind of sentencing until an indeterminate time. I just want to make sure people understand what they're saying right now. But it's certainly a good sign that this will start the process of ending these cases.
Yeah, I mean, we've already seen the federal cases starting to come to a close. I mean, out of D.C. And we know anything involving Jack, they're done. And they're on their way out. It was how these state cases, primarily in New York, how are they going to come to a close? Like in Georgia, they haven't even had the hearing yet on whether Fani Willis has to resign. And then they would have to put together an entire new case because of some of the issues she had with paying off her friend who had no experience putting a RICO case together. So I think those also will go by the wayside. But I think this was a huge victory. It doesn't mean it's over. The other side gets to respond. But it's one of those moments where you could say that the court is using reason and logic and following the actual law. And so the idea, and Logan, I think that's why they used Jack. He's good at getting a hit in the district court, and then it gave the Democrats six, seven months to call him a convicted criminal.
Look, we have a packed show today. Rick Grinnell's joining us. Our dad's joining us. Harry Hutchinson's going to be joining us. It's going to be a really slammed show, but I want to take this minute and a half before we head to break to encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. As we head into next week being Thanksgiving, we know a lot of you will be traveling. A lot of you will not be paying attention to what's going on in the daily news or following this show or listening to the podcast or watching on YouTube. Many of you will, and we appreciate everyone who does. But we know a lot of you, this is kind of the last day before vacation. So I encourage, if you're thinking about making a donation during our November Faith and Freedom Drive, this is the day to do it. I'll be honest, our calendar is a little weird this year, where New Year's Eve lands, where the end of this month lands, where Thanksgiving lands. Kind of throws off a lot of people's fundraising plans when you have an organization like ours because Thanksgiving is so late in the month. So right now, I encourage you, scan the QR code on your screen if you're watching or go to aclj.org. This is the time to do it. All donations are tax deductible and every gift is matched dollar for dollar. So I encourage you to join the fight and have your gift doubled today before it's too late at aclj.org. This is the day to do it.
Yeah, I mean, we are being literally inundated with new religious liberty cases that we're fighting. Employees prohibited from going to church, Bible bans, fines for having a cross on the Israeli flag or the Israeli flag fly in the backyard of your house, the backyard of the house, and the HOA is trying to go after them. You may think, oh, this is small, but when you win those cases, the sign is speech. The sign is your ability as American to express your views on your own property. And for goodness sakes, you'd think that would include anything you want to do in your own backyard so long as it isn't illegal. Donate today. As Logan said, we really need this today. ACLJ.org. Kilo, you might have seen my tweet last night. Very excited about the pick by President Trump for AG. Now, people were already speculating, does he have someone ready? Is it going to be Weeks? President Trump knows that whoever runs the Department of Justice needs to be more than ready on day one, because by day three of President Trump's first term, the mess began. The lawfare began against Donald Trump. Crossfire Razor became Crossfire Hurricane, which ended up with Mueller, and remember Sessions recusing himself, though he didn't have to. And then when they couldn't get him there, they said, oh, we'll move down from Russia and we'll go to Ukraine. You also are talking about fixing the FBI so that the American people have trust in their federal law enforcement. Rick Grinnell's joining us right now. And Rick, Tulsi Gabbard's also a team member here like you. I want your thoughts on the pick. Obviously, we're very excited about having that pick for Attorney General. To have Pam Bondi in that role is going to be so key.
Look, Pam is a friend of mine, and she is an amazing person, but she's also a great lawyer. And so this was a fantastic pick. As everyone knows, Pam did a phenomenal job in Florida. She's been on the outside helping President Trump where she could. She is going to bring a level of clarity to DOJ. She's a warrior. She is not ever someone who is bothered by criticism. And that's one of my criterias for having all these positions, is you've got to do the right thing. You can't be concerned about what the Washington media or the Washington critics are going to say. You have to be able to face them and do the right thing. Because remember, what works outside of Washington in the rest of America doesn't necessarily bode well for Washington, D.C. Those people there, they want a bigger budget. They want more power. And so if you want to give more power to the people, you've got to take on Washington that is trying to wrestle the power for themselves. And so Pam is somebody who understands that. She will not be deterred. She's extremely tough. I like Pam a lot. She's also a very funny person, and she likes a good joke and a good humor. And she's really somebody who I think people will just like.
That's the thing about Pam. I tweeted out last night, I used X, and I said, you know, you see the Pam, the tough lawyer, maybe the impeachment trial when she really took down Hunter Biden and really explained Burisma to all those senators, half of which had been denying that this was even existed, and she took it straight to them. So I got to see her in that setting. And then, of course, leadership setting as Attorney General. But then, as you said, and we were literally, if you see the pictures or sketches of the impeachment, usually we were sitting right next to each other and working, you know, late into the night, this team, to prepare for the next day and who was going to do what. But what I'll say is, when we had our breaks and you go back, it's exactly what you said, Rick. You have a brilliant legal mind who also understands the politics in the United States and in Congress and the White House. So, I mean, with her ability as a lawyer, I can't think of anybody more qualified to begin, yet again, draining the swamp that is the DOJ and FBI.
Yeah, look, it's not uncommon for Pam to call people or text them and just say, how are you doing? Saw something about this. She is a very kind person, but make no mistake, she's not a pushover. I was the co-chair with Pam for the MAGA Super PAC, and she led that with a vision that was just fierce. She would make sure that all of the meetings were on time. She had a vision. She could shut down people in a way that just, you recognize that she has a mission and she's a leader. I really like her. I think it's a fantastic pick.
Yeah, I think so too, Rick. She's been someone who's been a friend of ours for many, many years. And is someone who, as a part-time Floridian, is sort of a legend in Florida. Has been someone who's been around forever and has done an incredible job for the state of Florida. Really highly respected amongst everyone, so much so that we got to play a clip from MSNBC from yesterday, so much so that even the hosts on MSNBC don't even discount her intelligence, they don't discount of what she can do, but they may say it actually makes her scary to them. Let's take a listen to MSNBC.
Pam Bondi is exactly what I was saying in the last segment that we should all fear, because she's competent. We may not agree with her ideologically, but she actually knows how to do this job. So if anyone on the Democratic side or anyone who cared about liberty or justice was thinking, well, maybe Matt Gaetz will screw this up and that'll give us some time. No, Pam Bondi knows what she's doing. She knows what she's doing about immigration. Remember, Florida is one of those states that's been very aggressive about migrants and deportation and moving people to different states and everything else like that. Florida has enacted all sorts of rules and laws to curtail students and what they can do on campuses and finding legal justifications for manipulating education money. She is a dangerous and effective pick, and that's frankly worse than what we would have got with Matt Gaetz, even with the deplorable moral background that he has.
Okay, so at first, Rick, Matt Gaetz had to go for the Democrats, and now the same Democrats are saying, oh no, because the Republicans, you know, may have pushed out Matt Gaetz, even though we don't know about how those votes went down or how those decisions were made, but they move immediately then to Pam Bondi. And the problem with her, Rick, in the left is she's a very competent operator. I mean, I would
strong,
think
competent
this
woman.
Is what the American people want when you're talking about who's leading law enforcement that needs, that people have lost trust in. So not only is she competent and a great attorney, she's now got the left scared because they kind of thought they could push around Matt Gaetz, or I guess threaten, hold these reports over his head. Pam Bondi, as you know, Rick, with working with her, she's been through that ringer of politics for most of her life and career. And there's just not a better person. I'll say the same thing to you a couple times. I'd be on like Newsmax or something like that, and she'd be coming up, you know, 1 minute after when I looked down at my phone. She's like, "I'm right behind you on Newsmax." I mean, things like that. It's the ability to be tough when you need to, Rick, but you also have to build a team that is a family when you are going to take on not just the task of getting the bad guys, which is a priority, but also getting these departments back into shape.
Yeah, look, I want to agree with the breathless panic from the MSNBC commentator. I agree with him that Pam is dangerous. And the reason why Pam is dangerous is because MSNBC wants a big, bad Washington, D.C. that controls the lives of Americans. Pam Bondi is dangerous to that idea that Washington, D.C. is going to control us. She is absolutely dangerous to the idea that the swamp is going to be able to control things. Pam is fearless, and she will go in and make big choices that benefit the American people, that give us back our liberties, and that follow the law. Remember, we've got sanctuary cities across this country where Democrats and MSNBC constantly defend the idea that you ignore federal immigration law. To me, this is a really basic principle. Sanctuary cities are ignoring laws. We need people to say that's illegal. You're not allowed to undermine the rule of law in America. We're going to get rid of sanctuary cities. That concept is terrible to the rule of law in America. So Pam is going to do that. And I might add one final thing. Vogue better get ready to put Pam Bondi on the cover because the woman is a fashion icon. She's beautiful and smart and the exact type of woman that women's magazines should be all over, and let's see if they do it.
I mean, she's dedicated her life to law enforcement and to make at the state level and getting the right people in place as well. And I mean, I think, Rick, when we think about this, we're in a faith and freedom drive right now at the ACLJ. And, you know, having you as a member of our team and others like Tulsi Gabbard and Mike Pompeo has been such a blessing, I think, for our audience this entire lead up, especially with you being able to give them inside accounts and then go into foreign policy when we need to or appointments when we need to, because we've been around this world a long time. And we're asking our donors right now, Rick, this is really actually a very key day. Even though the deadline to get your donation is doubled, Rick, we have Thanksgiving, you know, next week. So we're really pushing today. And if you would just explain to people why you think they should make that donation today to the ACLJ to prepare for the fight that's coming, but also the fights that we are engaged in right now in these transition days.
You know, after winning the White House, the conservatives are coming into power, and we can't abandon them. This is the exact time that people need to make sure that we are prepared to defend this administration and to defend the good decisions that are made. ACLJ is one of these organizations that doesn't just talk about it, but we have lawyers, we have teams of strategists, we are people that are on the front lines. We have offices that absolutely are fighting. So I see all these other organizations that just tweet or talk or issue press releases, and that's not what ACLJ does. And it's one of the reasons I wanted to join an organization that actually takes action. And so I hope people recognize that now is the time to give a little bit of money. Let's support ACLJ.
Thank you, Rick, so much for joining us today. I did want to make that pitch as well to encourage you right now, as next week is a holiday week for a lot of people, probably yourself as well. You'll be traveling. You may not be paying attention. We want you right now to make that donation today. Every gift is matched dollar for dollar during our Faith and Freedom Drive for the month of November. But this is really one of those big key dates. So join the fight. If you've been thinking about it, have your gift doubled or become an ACLJ champion. That's someone that gives on a monthly recurring basis, and your first donation is still doubled. So do that right now at ACLJ.org. Our dad joining us in the next segment.
To Sekulow. My dad is joining us now, Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel of the ACLJ, by phone today. And Dad, I want your reaction to, Judge Bichon granting President-elect Donald Trump's request to file a motion to dismiss against all of the charges in the New York versus Trump case. That's Alvin Bragg's case. The attorneys for Trump have until December 2nd. That's not too long. I can't believe it's not too long from now, but it's not. And then the Bragg only has 7 days to respond. My first question, Dad, to you is, in this kind of situation after the briefing, is there usually oral argument, or most of the time is this done off the judge just reading the briefings and making a decision?
I think the judge is in a situation because of you to understand what has happened here. The big issue in this motion to dismiss is this. Was evidence submitted at trial that the jury heard that based on the Supreme Court's decision in the immunity case, we wrote a big brief to the Supreme Court on that, where the president received immunity, which he had to, because else he could never be president and operate effectively. In that situation, could that evidence have been tainting the jury? Conversations, for instance, that were admitted at trial between the former president, now president-elect, and his staff, and the jury heard all that. I don't think there's any way, Jordan, that can be separated. I think Judge Merchan had no choice in this situation. He had to do three things. One, he had to postpone the sentencing. Here's why. We argued at the Supreme Court of the United States for President Trump, you and I did this during COVID, that these kind of interruptions yes. to the presidency should not be allowed. Merchan knows that now. That is now the law based on the case we did. Number two, the evidence did taint the jury, of course. And number three, you can't do anything that interferes with a sitting president. And here's what's so wrong with all of this. We're talking about the fact that the president, which I think is great, nominated our colleague Pam Bondi to be the attorney general. But the distraction that all these other things take on now the president-elect during transitions time is the reason why the Supreme Court said you can't interfere. A state process cannot interfere with the president.
Yeah, I mean, I think I remember you well, Dad, and I say it often on this show when we talk about these issues, when you said, you know, we cannot, in that case that we were doing right from the room we're in now, an interesting time during COVID, and it went on for, you know, a couple hours because they got rid of the time limits. But you said, you know, a president can't govern if local DAs and the 2,000 plus that there are who are elected by party can decide to file criminal charges whenever they want against the president of the United States, that it doesn't work. And I know there's some of the issues of immunity, Dad, that have not gotten fully flushed out by the court, but we're moving there. And this, I think, is that signal to those other DAs during these 4 years is follow what even Alvin Bragg and this judge have done, likely, because you can't do this. And it hadn't been happening much before, Dad, but then this team said, let's just flout the rules and dirty him up. As we said about Jack, Dad, like, I don't know how many times is he goes in to take you down at the district level, the lower court level. Most of the time, his big cases have been reversed. So he's not someone that is a great closer. So this actually proves this was all 100%, not even like 1%, but all about politics. They knew it wasn't actually about putting Trump in jail. It was about making him sit there in court so they could say he was found guilty of 34 felonies, and now we're going to, you know, he could be a felon in the White House. That is about to go away. And that talking point obviously was a failure.
Well, I mean, this is the weaponization of the Department of Justice, and that is going to stop. And now you said something very important here. The first line, or first, I don't know if we still have it, but that I said to the Supreme Court when I argued from that very studio you're in right now, was that 3,200 local DAs could go after a president. And you realize now with, as you said, all the federal cases automatically go away. But these DAs will just say, well, we'll just postpone the sentencing of the president of the United States for 4 years. I mean, this is how ridiculous it is. So this is where the court, I think Mershon's going to do the right. I'm not confident. I have hope that Mershon will do the right thing here, which is dismiss this case and that's it. And then, of course, they cannot try a sitting president.
Yeah. I mean, I think if worst case scenario, he didn't move that way, as you move up the courts, I don't see a way they could move forward with this specific case and still balance that with the Supreme Court decision. I mean, it would have to be completely redone. And if you, and without those witnesses, I don't know how it would be redone. I mean, that was all the information. It was already a scam. I mean, trying to make a misdemeanor business records law and somehow tie it to federal election law that they have no business in overseeing. I mean, this is when people realized how bad the lawfare has gotten. It's why Pam Bondi is so important, Dad, because her first job has got to be getting the DOJ back in order, getting the FBI back on track so that it won't be overnight, but so that the American people begin to regain trust in our law enforcement system in America. Because if you don't trust law enforcement, that's a lot different than saying, I don't like those politicians in Washington. They don't get anything done. These are people who put you behind bars. I mean, so if you really have to trust that they are making the best decisions that have nothing to do with who you are, where you live, or how you vote.
Well, I think, look, I mean, I think the Pam Bondi pick is fantastic for a couple of reasons. And one of the biggest is she's run one of the largest state attorney general's offices in the country. I mean, Florida's a big state, and she was in charge of, she was the chief law enforcement officer for one of our largest and most populous states. So she's not new to this. And I do think what they're all saying is right. She's, you know, they view her as so dangerous because she's so competent. And I remember, I think it was the ACLU or Planned Parenthood once put out a newsletter piece on us and said, Jay Sekulow is so dangerous because he sounds so reasonable. But that's how they think.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the crazy part.
Yeah, I mean, this idea, Logan, we can't play the full clip right now. It's actually, we can. Can we play this again? This is MSNBC, Dad. You may have, I'm sure you saw it. But just so people get your reaction to it, because it's so unbelievable. They're like kicking themselves now that they didn't keep Matt Gaetz. And they should have been thinking about that all the time, that, well, who's coming next if this doesn't work? But, of course, the Democrats, they're not very good on that strategy usually. Let's watch and take a listen.
Pam Bondi is exactly what I was saying in the last segment that we should all fear, because she's competent. We may not agree with her ideologically, but she actually knows how to do this job. So if anyone on the Democratic side or anyone who cared about liberty or justice was thinking, well, maybe Matt Gaetz will screw this up and that'll give us some time. No, Pam Bondi knows what she's doing. She knows what she's doing about immigration. Remember, Florida is one of those states that's been very aggressive about migrants and deportation and moving people to different states and everything else like that. Florida has enacted all sorts of rules and laws to curtail students and what they can do on campuses and finding legal justifications for manipulating education money. She is a dangerous and effective pick, and that's frankly worse than what we would have got with Matt Gaetz, even with the deplorable moral background that he has.
Yeah, because, Dad, they didn't want someone in the DOJ not only who had conservative views and agreed with the president that we have to do something to restore the respect and integrity of these institutions. They know that Pam Bondi can actually get it done. So I think they were hoping, now we know, that Matt Gaetz would take over, thinking, and maybe it wouldn't have been like that, but their thinking there was, you know, he's not going to be able to run this kind of agency. And now they've got a competent person, a woman, and they're starting to attack her. I mean, this is the party that said there's not enough women. So, Dad, we got 25 seconds left. This is a big fundraising day for the ACLJ because next week is Thanksgiving. So though you can donate till November 30th and double the impact of that donation, tell people why to donate is so important today.
Only about 10 seconds.
No, it's very important that you support us. Your gift is doubled. Go to aclj.org and support the Life and Liberty Drive.
That's right. Faith and Freedom Drive happening right now. Scan the QR code. We'll be right back with the second half hour. Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your calls too. 1-800-684-3110. Your thoughts on Pam Bondi, your thoughts on ending the weaponization and of law enforcement and getting those bad deep state actors removed from the DOJ as well as the FBI. I mean, it's a big job that she's taking on because we have an FBI that no one trusts that's knocking on the doors of conservatives because they don't like their speech, or they're going into Catholic churches because Latin Mass is somehow posing a danger to America. And again, to double down on this, the idea that having a competent AG is now scaring them more. So when we look at all of these issues that we've been talking about, Logan, I think really what it comes down to is the fight is on. Yes, there will be some confirmations that don't make it all the way through. But I think if we at the ACLJ and through ACLJ Action launch the kind of education, what we're doing right now, like Rick was talking about and Dad was talking about, so that we can give that firsthand account of what it's like to work with Pam Bondi. And as Rick said, and I will reiterate it, she was someone who even when we were folks were practicing how they would handle the impeachment, their portion of the impeachment trial before the Senate, which is very different than a normal courtroom. And you're literally like two feet away from the first senator. It was when everybody was just starting to get sick in Washington, D.C. And, you know, we were going through in practices of how to do and what to do and who should do this. And she was always grateful enough to say, I will take any of these on that you'd like me to, or I will take none of these on. Be here to help and then do the TV shows.
Yeah, what's been really good with
and
this.
Someone who has that humbleness is hard to find when you're talking about leadership in Washington, D.C., of a place like the DOJ and FBI.
Yeah, and having someone like Pam Bondi and then also Tulsi Gabbard and a lot of our friends getting really deeply involved in this cabinet.
We hate women.
Okay, well, I think you need to clarify that.
Yeah, I mean, but
what you're saying is what the MSNBC host is kind of saying. Let's take a call real quick. Warren's calling on line one. He kind of has a question about that. Warren, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. Yeah, listening to the MSNBC quote and seeing Pam Bondi, it literally came out of their mouth that they want somebody incompetent so the bureaucracy can control them.
Right.
And also, I just want to wish you guys all a blessed Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much, Warren. Yeah, I think, again, Matt Gaetz was only going to be confirmed by Republican votes. But I think Democrats were hoping the pressure would be so high on them that whatever came out, he would get the votes. And then they would be able to just go after him for, you know, demonize him at more than they already have, Logan, spending that time and then ultimately trying to get him to do something like Jeff Sessions. That then opens a door to someone who's not the attorney general and not even a U.S. attorney trying to come after President Trump. And we can never let that happen again. It was wrong. It's unconstitutional. And at the ACLJ, you know, we fight back in our personal capacities. We took that time away to fight back as well, because we knew for the big picture of the country, Logan, we need to protect our presence in the United States while they're in office and after they leave office. It's a duty, I think, as Americans who put them in these positions of power, when they're doing work and they're working on policies and legislation that sometimes happen to be very controversial. Yeah. I mean, we've seen with President Trump, I mean, people have tried to kill him. We've seen it in real time over political ideology. Now, you don't hear a lot of fascist talk anymore. Joe Biden welcomed him very nicely with a big smile on his face, because I think he's very happy that he won, actually, because I think he was probably pretty mad at Kamala Harris and that team. I think even when he put that MAGA hat on, it said a lot about that. Yeah. But you know we're in all these fights, folks, more than I can even explain to you right now in the broadcast, with getting the right people put in place and also getting them through that Senate process. And that is part of the work the ACLJ can do. So this is why it's so important today. If you like these nominees, we need to be prepared through ACLJ and ACLJ Action to really go out and work and do the interviews and tell people why they are the best person for the job. But that takes resources. So you have until midnight Saturday. But let's be honest, you're going into Thanksgiving week next week. If you can make that donation today, Logan, you get the double the impact. but it's really key because we're going into a holiday week.
Yeah, absolutely. So do that right now. Go to ACLJ.org. If you're watching, scan the QR code. Again, all donations are doubled and matched dollar for dollar by incredible ACLJ champions and donors. So do that right now. We'll be right back with Harry Hutchinson.
So we've got the nominations. I expect that we might even hear more leading up to Thanksgiving. It'll be interesting to see if they are today or over the weekend, because the closer you get to Thanksgiving, really after Monday, Tuesday, the kids are home, people are traveling, the road trip, they're going to their families, and political news is not what they necessarily want to be spending all their time on. Though, let's all be honest, many of us are hooked on it, and we'll have it on. But it does make a less of an impact. Now, I do want to go, though, right to Harry Hutchinson, because I know people are excited. They have been for decades, Harry, about cutting down the federal bureaucracy, that we can't have a kind of federal government that is so out of control. It's like they run Washington and presidents just circle through. And that's a huge problem. So Elon Musk and Vivek are going to oversee a real office, hiring real staff with real competence to put together a plan to do as much as eliminate agencies or seriously cut back their funding and responsibilities. What do you think, and how do you think this could impact the American people in the country?
Well, for too long, the federal government has been run by an entrenched, indeed permanent bureaucracy, which basically disdains the American people, particularly working people. They look down upon them. And so what you have is a combination of entrenched bureaucrats accompanied by the power and the force of so-called experts. These experts, for instance, have decided that you and I should not own gas stoves, for instance.
Yep.
Which I think is an absolutely ridiculous idea. These experts have basically issued forth $500 billion worth of unauthorized spending, for instance. We spend $1.5 billion on the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which allows left-wing loons to basically run roughshod over the American people, right, and offer their disdain. We spend $300 million, for instance, that has not necessarily been authorized by Congress on Planned Parenthood. So there's a lot of waste, fraud, and abuse. And so the permanent bureaucracy has also been empowered by many government contractors. I used to live in Washington, D.C. Booz Allen received $1 billion, for instance, to move military equipment to Afghanistan. They then charged the U.S. government another $1 billion to move those military right, equipment back to the United States. So it's a process that enriches the bureaucrats, enriches the government contractors, and impoverishes the American people. So DOGE is going to basically help rein in these oppressive bureaucrats.
We know it's very difficult right now under law to get rid of those bureaucrats, but you can pull funding, and Congress can utilize the power of the purse, starting in the House, to significantly cut the budget, which means they won't be able to pay the individuals. So in a sense, you don't have to always get that civil servant law through that you can file people for cause, because this is even more than that. This is just waste as well. It's like, we don't need this many people. There's computers that can write and type and analyze things better than most people. I will tell you, I'm sure we could hear from people. You want to call us at 1-800-684-3110. If you've heard from the IRS, if you've heard an audit, like a phone call or anything like that, if you listen closely in the background, you might hear kids running around or a baby crying or a dog. Only 17% of Washington's federal employees, the bureaucrats, are going into an office.
Yeah, I had something I needed to get done. They needed me to fax it, number one.
Yes, always.
They needed
a fax.
Me to fax it, too. It clearly was someone's home. But Harry actually has a new piece up right now on ACLJ.org. If you want to read more about this, I encourage you to go to it. At ACLJ.org, again, it's called Demolishing Leviathan, Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy's DOGE planned to revolutionize government. And look, I saw a lot of people commenting specifically about in their report of look, they suggested this. It's not like we're saying this. When you brought up Planned Parenthood, it's not like we're saying, oh, that'd be a good place to defund. It's in their documentation that that is one of the places that they plan on cutting, where you said whether it's public broadcasting or $300 million to groups like Planned Parenthood. This is not something I think most people thought they would hear, not even out of a Trump presidency, but you forget, of course, he's the one who put in the Supreme Court justices that overturned Roe, and you have the situation where Elon Musk has come out to be a more pro-life than I think a lot of people thought. He's not necessarily a full pro-lifer, but he is at least to the point saying if it's beyond any point.
They never really thought about it because it wasn't in their career that they were
doing.
It
wasn't one of their issues.
And when they started actually getting asked about it, they started researching it, and they said, my God, this is horrendous.
These are campaign promises that happen from time to time. You'll hear, we got to defund Planned Parenthood, and it never happens. For some reason, though, in this situation, I think President Trump is to get some credit for this because he's done these things that a lot of presidents have not, which is actually take these campaign promises that reach out to people and say, you know what? I'm not even sure if I 100% agree with this, but I promise these people that I would do it. And when you have Elon Musk putting out we need to defund Planned Parenthood and he's running this Department of Government Efficiency, it's a pretty cool moment.
It's a fantastic moment. And in addition to his willingness to defund Planned Parenthood, Elon Musk will also basically reverse, hopefully, many of the rules and regulations that have allowed federal government funding, which essentially sterilizes children. Imagine a pro-life move of that magnitude. So basically defunding Planned Parenthood and eliminating government subsidies for sterilization and other types of elective surgeries, I think, are a tremendous pro-life move. Secondarily, as Jordan, I think, correctly pointed out, a significant number of American workers, bureaucrats, they work from home. And many of those individuals, maybe they will voluntarily leave government service once DOGE forces them to come back into the office. So you can no longer work from the beaches of Florida or California. You have to actually come into the office. What a revolutionary idea. Most Americans go to work every single day. They deal with congestion. They deal with traffic. And they come to work. It is about time that the American people demand that these oppressive bureaucrats actually show up and work.
Absolutely. I encourage you to go to the website and read your article that just got posted, because if you want to deep dive into even more into this, it's a great way to do it. I also would love to hear from you right now. Phone lines are open. If you heard what Harry said, I'm sure that fired up a lot of people. Give us a call, or if you want to talk about Pam Bondi or any of the other topics, because in the next segment, Jordan and I will take as many calls as we can. Yep. Phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. We have a few lines open, so it's a perfect time to call. 1-800-684-3110.
And I think it's a great time for you to share that piece by Harry to your friends and family, so if they've got the time as these nominations come through and these agencies are created to understand their plan and what they're looking at doing and their goals. And that he broke it down for you. It's at aclj.org and is called Demolishing the Leviathan, Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, the DOGE plan to revolutionize government. And so we want you to read
pieces on there. You'll be able to find it very easily.
And we want you to read it because, again, they it's very straightforward. And then we want you to share this with your friends and family so they understand there is a path to do this, that we can rein in government. And how many, like Logan, you said, how many politicians on the right have we heard running for president who have even made it to the White House and say, you know, we're going to make these cuts. DOE, Department of Education is always the one they've said would be gone. Mm-hmm. And then they remain and the bureaucracy remains. I think that's because they saw what happened to President Trump and they were always scared of that too, that
they'll come after you so hard.
Yeah, and phone lines are jamming up right now. I encourage you to take a look at that article. It's brand new on the website. Also, a feature on there, you can listen to the article. So if you know you're driving or something else is happening, you can click the button. You'll see it right there. Listen to this article, and it will read it to you. I do that usually when I'm, like I said, if I'm listening to this show and afterwards, or if I'm driving, I don't want to necessarily be, you know, fumbling around trying to read. I can just click it real quick, and it'll play through my car or wherever it may be. So I encourage you, check out all the cool features. A lot of breaking news happening over on ACLJ.org. And while you're there, of course, I'm going to encourage you, as we are heading into Thanksgiving holiday, we know next week a lot of you are going to be very busy. So today is really the most important day for our faith and freedom drive. All donations are doubled today. We are facing all of these things that you have heard about today and so much more. And remember that the work of the ACLJ extends outside of media, extends outside of just what you see on the show every day. It goes into the law so aggressively. And we have an incredible group of lawyers, an incredible group of media personalities, as well as a team. All of that comes at a high cost because they are the best in the business. And we can't do it without your support. Individual donors who decide on an individual basis to make a donation during something like a Faith and Freedom Drive. Of course, you can opt in and become an ACLJ champion. And your first donation is still doubled and matched dollar for dollar. So join the fight today and have your gift doubled now at ACLJ.org. We're going to take as many calls as we can coming up. Phone lines right now are jamming up. Some will make it, some won't. So keep calling at 1-800-684-3110.
In your mind, you're going to start being, we all are, distracted by Thanksgiving with the kids, with the families, road trips, planes, flights. So think about this day as the day to get that donation in so that your donation and your gift is doubled. So we're ready to go January 1 to fight for you. Welcome back to Secular. As Logan said, we are going to take your calls, and we are.
Yep. Let's go ahead. Let's start.
Before we do that,
Logan,
HMS 1277 on Rumble said, Logan, can we do the clowns today, or is that a Thursday thing?
It's not a Thursday. I wasn't on Thursday. It was my birthday. I didn't take off because of my birthday. It was just, I was here. I was on the other side. So if you want to send in the clowns, I know our friends who run our YouTube channel love that because it gets our engagement up. So feel free to send in those clown emojis. We know that's a lot of fun. But, you know, after the election, maybe we need to come up with a better emoji. So throw emoji. In some suggestions. I know the clowns are fun, though. And they're
I love if I get emoji
I love
of
seeing,
Biden with the MAGA hat.
I love seeing the comments just start flooding. And I imagine all the thousands of people that join this broadcast later on and go, what happened here? So it makes me happy. But let's go ahead and go to Sam, who is calling from Kentucky, who's listening on the radio. Sam, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving,
gentlemen. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
I was thinking after listening to reviews of Pam Bondi, which I think is a great nominee, that the president with Matt Gaetz's, on board, he was nominated to ramp up all the liberals, the Democrats, to fight him, and
John Fetterman, he said this was God level, so God level trolling. Now, I wouldn't use the terms like that, calling other people God, but he wasn't calling him God. He was saying this is the ultimate troll by putting these nominees through and then causing, as he went on to say, causing the left and Democrats to completely start dividing and going nuts. And then lo and behold, guess who's coming in? And it's Pam Bondi. Now, was it done strategically or was it a test move? Now, those are both strategic. Did President Trump want Matt Gaetz to fail? I don't think so. I don't believe he wanted him to fail and have to resign.
No.
I think he thought he's someone
who's been very good for anybody,
very loyal to President Trump and basically has done whatever President Trump has asked. He's been there for him. But what it also did, Logan, it allowed the transition team to go in to have those meetings, let J.D. Vance be there, and then pick up on kind of where the Senate is and how far they can push it.
And Matt Gaetz put out a statement.
Can they push it with their nominees?
Yeah, and I think we found that line. But Matt Gaetz even put out a statement today. He was on the Charlie Kirk show and said, I'm still going to be in the fight, but it's going to be from a new perch. I do not intend to join the 119th Congress. So kind of wrapping up that whole conversation, because that had gone back and forth a few times. So at least he is kind of saying, hey, I'm stepping aside from this. I'm going to move into a different portion of my career. Let's continue on. Take some more phone calls. Let's go to Ruben in Virginia, who has a question about Pam Bondi. Ruben, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I was just wondering with this pick, Bunty. I was just wondering if she, I mean, if she won't be intimidated by the elite and the swamp, you know, how really she's going to take this huge responsibility. Sure. As Attorney General.
Yeah, Ruben, we've worked with Pam Bondi over the years many times, and you could say that when it comes to taking on the swamp or something like that, or standing up under pressure, you couldn't really ask for a better person.
No, absolutely not. I mean, you've got to, again, you are taking on a huge, huge task, because it's not just on day one, we're going to, you know, I take over law enforcement. You know you're taking on one of the most corrupt, anti-Republican, anti-conservative organizations, departments in Washington, D.C., and it happens to be one filled with attorneys. So, and at the FBI, filled with attorneys and law enforcement officials at the highest level. So to reform them, you have to be tough as nails, but you also have to be able to do it with a smile on your face. Because I think if you come in and it's just, you know, you're trying to almost like imitate President Trump. No, you be yourself, and that's what people are going to learn about Pam Bondi, and I think as we've seen in the past, Logan, these roles did not always get a ton of attention unless there was some major event. But now with Fox News and Newsmax, shows like ours, they do talk about other people. They don't just focus on President Trump and the White House. They do a lot of focus on who's the AG and what they're doing. We did it under Obama as well and under the last Trump administration, that trying to educate people that this executive branch is a whole lot bigger than you think. And even when you take over the DOJ, you're also taking over the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And right now, people have no faith in those departments. Pam knows that. She will go in, and that will be the first part of her job. The second part of her job, and really the biggest important, the most important for all of us, is to keep America safe by using our legal system to go after the bad guys, to go after the cartels, to go after the creators of fentanyl. I mean, that's the real job of the DOJ, is to go after the criminals that are really damaging the country, that need the resource of the DOJ to be put behind bars, or if they're fines, things like that. So we want her to get to a place where that's her only focus. Yep. So as quickly as possible, we have to get the culture changed inside DOJ and inside the FBI. All right. And I'm hoping those line agents say, thank God.
We got some interesting calls coming in from people that work for the government. Let's go to George, who's calling, who's an ACLJ champion. George, you're on the air.
Thank you. I worked for the government as a contractor for 2 weeks in the early 90s, and the corruption extended all the way down to the employees. I overheard two employees who had a job that they had to do say, well, let's put this off and we'll do it on overtime tonight.
Yeah, George, I don't think that's any surprise that government employees a lot of times are trying to milk the system. That happens a lot. I've heard that from a lot of my friends who have worked, like I said, either like in your situation, as a contractor or as someone building a facility, and they hear these stories. The amount of waste that happens is always absurd. That's why you're going to have something like the new DOJ department. Let's go to David, who has a very similar thought as well in Pennsylvania. David, quickly, because we're running out of time.
Hey, David.
Okay, I had a 20-year career in the Department of Defense as an architect, and I did have a 3-year window where God gave me favor with the Corps of Engineers Engineer of the Year.
That's great.
And I got everything I could from him. Outside of that, I had good contracts. They were expedited well by our people. But other than that, I witnessed a lot of waste. And when I looked at it, I thought, you cannot make government more efficient. The only thing you can do is cut programs and cut funding.
Yep.
And that's all going to come down on the House Republicans and the Senate Republicans putting something real through. And they can only do it, from my understanding, with budget reconciliation.
Yeah, I mean, you tighten up the budget so that the DOJ can't just keep employing all of their employees. They've got to make cuts right from the top. So you start with people maybe who have been there the shortest, been there people who've got a lot of, they've been in their record. They've got those letters of insubordination, people who are problem causers, leakers, or just don't do a good job. And you can do that because you don't have a button. You only have so much money. So you got to make cuts. And that makes it actually easier than having to just go through and have Congress, which we want to do ultimately, reform the ability to remove these civil servants. And not, it doesn't have to be criminal to remove them. Yeah. But I think now we've learned, if you get the right AG in, a lot of this work to cut back federal government, both the bureaucracy and the spending, can happen very quickly. And then we can get these important agencies doing the work that they do. We are going to be there in the fight. I texted that to Pam. You know, I texted and said, whatever you need, we are going to be there to make sure you get through this confirmation hearing and are the U.S. Attorney General. And we need your help and your support to make sure our teams are ready to go on all these nominees. Go to ACLJ.org. Donate today. This is the day to make the donation. ACLJ.org. Your gift will be doubled. It's so important to us. Donate today.